from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go live from St. Joe here on a Monday. Cody and Gold at Chiefs training camp. We'll talk plenty of camp throughout the show. We're going to have Jared Wiley, Chiefs rookie tight end, join us at some point at the end of this hour, early in the 11 o'clock hour. Plus, expected to hear from Steve Spagnuolo, Creed Humphrey, Trent McDuffie as a shorter practice today. I think, I don't know if it was already scheduled or if Andy Reid is doing them a solid, but obviously dangerous temperatures throughout this week. So hope everybody is staying safe out there, and especially the fans that are here at training camp, around 3,000 or so at camp today, but no pads, just the shorts today. So practice a little bit lighter. So we'll keep an eye on Cody, but we obviously have to start with the Royals, and we're expected to hear from J.J. Piccolo in about 15 minutes as he addresses the media, because we got our first move in a couple weeks from the Royals. I don't know if it'll be the last one before tomorrow's deadline, but Michael Lorenzen, a veteran pitcher from the Texas Rangers, comes to Kansas City now. The Royals trade away minor leaguer Walter Pennington in just a 1v1 swap. For those who don't know, quick observation on Lorenzen. All-star last year, 3.81 ERA in 18 starts this year. Threw a no-no last year. Lefties hitting just .144 against him. This month has been a little rougher for him, 5.49 ERA. But I think, Cody, when the bullpen has been the issue throughout the season, but then you couple potential injuries where Hunter Harvey's day-to-day, and you look at some of the availability aspect, plain and simple, before you even get into some of the struggles from individuals, I think they had to go get an arm. I don't know if this was the move that they were already planning or if this is an additional move for the other move that they're making.
So, look, I was starting to think that maybe it wasn't going to happen, but then I saw two relievers leave the game yesterday, and you're like, well, I'm not really sure what choice they have. And I guess part of the reason that I was like, here's the reason why I kind of love this deal. Because your initial thought is, well, why would you love a deal that seems like relatively minor on the surface of it, and you don't have to like get too carried away? Well, there's a big reason why I love this deal, and that's because over the weekend, when I started watching what relievers were going for, I'm like, thank God they got that Hunter Harvey deal done when they did, because, I do not like the asking price for a number. I saw what they gave it for Jason Adam, and I'm like, pass, right? All of a sudden, I was talking myself into, well, I guess you're just going to roll with what you got and see what happens. To this point, has the bullpen let you down? Sure. But to this point, were you in a playoff spot despite that? Yeah. So maybe you were just going to have to roll the dice and see what happened at the end of it. The reason why I love this deal is it's a 26-year-old hard-throwing reliever that you didn't even let crack your pen. So even if he is good somewhere else, and he might be, all you gave up was a controllable 26-year-old guy who wasn't in your big league bullpen for a starter the rest of the way. I understand it's a rental, this is a good deal. I'm assuming this means Marsh to the pen. But that fact alone, the price tag for the players alone, is the reason why I like this deal.
Well, because Lorenzen, really, for the last year and a half, 2 years, has been a starter. So, you know, I don't think this is him to the bullpen and Marsh staying in. Let's be honest, Alec Marsh hasn't pitched as well since the first month and a half.
Now there's Lorenzen, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's an argument for both. I mean, yeah, so the last couple outings for Lorenzen, he couldn't get out of the first inning. Then the next day, he actually gave the Rangers four innings. So it'll be interesting. We're going to hear from JJ coming up, and obviously he'll probably provide some clarification on exactly the role they see for him. But they just needed more arms, too. And you're right, if you're going to trade for a rental, you don't want to give up, and no disrespect to Walter Pennington, you don't want to give up a prospect that might have a long-term future with your organization if you don't have to. And that's not what they did, right? It was a cool moment. I am glad for Walter Pennington. He got to have his MLB debut in Colorado in front of his family, pitched really well. Remember, they sent him right back down the next day, and he hasn't been back up since. So I don't think anybody should be freaking out about what you gave up for a guy who's been a career minor leaguer, essentially, and again, reliever, not a guy that was a starter or any view of that. He was already viewed as a reliever in the organization. So you get a guy that hopefully can help solidify some things. Every game matters, man. We know that every game matters now. Less than 60 to go, and you're in the thick of a wild card race, and you're going to need that. And I still think... I wouldn't mind another bullpen arm, though. Even if Alec Marsh is now that arm, they don't have minor league answers for the pen. Look at anything that's going on right now, from whether it's a Will Klein type
or they could have gone with Walter Pennington, the guy they just traded.
They don't have a minor league option to come up and help the bullpen. They don't. So they got to go trade for either a starter that can bump some of the bullpen, which is what you think might be happening here.
I kind of think
with Alec Marsh, or go and get a bullpen arm before tomorrow's deadline. But the asking price, seller's market. We've seen that for established bullpen guys.
That's it. It is steep gold, really steep, to go out and just buy a surefire reliever. Think about it. This is a creative way to do it cheap. If this is the only move they make before the deadline, if this is the last move they make, they obviously made the move for Hunter Harvey, who I hope is okay. He did leave injured yesterday.
Day-to-day.
Multiple pitchers left early yesterday, so you hope is okay in the long hauls. He was grimacing coming off the mound yesterday. But this was the creative way to do it cheap. Now, you got to convince yourself that you can turn Alec Marsh into a reliever, even though that's not what he's been doing, Colton. Like, it's just straight up not what he's been doing. Because what's the other alternative? If that's not their plan, then they're looking at innings catching up to Seth Lugo, or innings catching up to Reagans, or innings catching up to Singer. Because, by the way, all three of them might be on pace for career highs in all of those numbers. And they're just thinking, do we might need to do a six-man rotation for a bit, save ourselves a couple of innings, and then move Marsh to the pen as we slowly work away? Those are the only two explanations.
Yeah, because Lorenzen has started since he's been with the Rangers, but that'll be what we're going to find out some clarity on from Piccolo here in a little bit, because how do you approach that right now based off of what you mentioned? We know Reagan's already is at a career high. Singer's pacing for it. Lugo's just a few innings short, I think, of his career high from a season ago. And so do you view Lorenzen as the guy that can be the bullpen guy that you're able to just extend out longer, or is he truly just a flat-out starter?
He's a great safety net. Like, if something happens, if Lugo's in, he's caught up to him. At least you got two more guys. At least you got another guy who can start, right? Like, there's no harm in that.
Yeah, I mean, Lorenzen's already stretched out as a starter. You know, so that's he just went four innings the other day after pitching one inning the day before.
Yeah, and they didn't give up that much.
Yeah, multiple people in the text are saying he's been a reliever. I understand that. I understand that. Since he's been with Texas, he's been mainly a starting pitcher. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. When he was with the Reds, he was a reliever. If you look at he has done both, but recently he has been more of a starter. That's all I'm saying. Now, the Royals can use him whatever way they think is most valuable. Just because he was a starter, I'm not telling you that he can't be a reliever. But the notion of, like, he has been a reliever, not recently he hasn't. He's mainly been a starting pitcher.
He's been starting this year. He threw a no-hitter in his starter last year. He was an all-star last year as a starter. And he's kind of hard to imagine that's not the role they're going to put him in my opinion. Now, I wouldn't say 0%. Because I do think Marsh has done a nice job this year. I think it's hard to complain about the job Marsh has done. I thought earlier in the year you could make the argument he was pitching as well as the other three names we've mentioned 1,000 times this year in Singer, Lugo, and Reagans. So knowing that, it is kind of hard. But the other part is you got control with Marsh. Just because he's not a starter for the next 2 months for you doesn't mean he can't be. Doesn't mean he can't be a starter in the long haul for you. They're making moves about being better this year, this season, trying to get to the postseason. And so sometimes you got to back burner a guy and then come back around on somebody. And I don't know that that's for sure what's going to happen. Again, J.J. Piccolo is scheduled to talk in about 10 minutes or so. But when you look at the possibility of the trade, it's hard for me to imagine you're trading for a guy who is actively starting for someone, and then you're like, sure, let's make him a reliever. Like when they gave Lugo the money, I didn't think they were going to put him in the bullpen, even though he had primarily pitched in the bullpen up to that stage in his life. But when you're talking about it, you know, it's a little bit different on that end. I'm surprised, you know, like I'm happy to be talking to Royals because last night was frustrating and they lost two series in a row, and it felt like they should have had that Cubs series a couple times over because they had leads close enough to late in the game to blow it. But it's they're just an imperfect team.
Yeah, they're not. They're still not consistent enough. This is why I really think it's about all about the wild card. Just a week ago, you and I were sitting up here, right, and they had just swept the White Sox, and they had got it down to within four. That's because they had swept the White Sox, and the Guardians had gotten, or the Red Sox had gotten swept, and the Guardians had been struggling. It's a reminder of, like, just within 1 week, how quickly things can change. Yes, on one hand, they can change for the positive, but it's not always for the better.
The other way, for sure.
And that's what happened, unfortunately. And so I maintain that I think the wild card is where the focus should be. Not talking about the guys in the clubhouse. That's clearly not their mindset. I'm talking about how I view it, and I think fans should be focused more on the wild card than division. I don't think division is all that realistic because of the inconsistencies. They're a flawed baseball team. That's fine. They're ahead of schedule. It's been a great year. Let's get in the wild card. Let's see what happens. Get in the wild card. And this move today, I think, helps that. I still am not convinced that one more arm wouldn't help. You know, we saw what Jazz Chisholm went for with the Yankees. Yeah. That was a lot to give up.
Ooh,
I don't think the Royals
were
really...
the report was the Royals were interested in him, too.
So there's the balance there. I'm not saying that every organization does this. Whether it was Estevez or whatever, the closer for the Angels, or whether it's Jazz Chisholm, then a few minutes later, reports come out from national media members that they were really close. Look.
Actually, the one on Chisholm said that somebody else was closer than the Royals.
So I guess my point is on that, like, that's great. I don't deny that they weren't calling, but, you know.
They might have called and they said, Blake Mitchell, and you're like,
that's great, you're close on everybody.
It's been nice talking.
And I'm not saying they should have traded for Jazz Chisholm, because I think you have to be careful with what you're giving up in this current year. But standing pat also then is worse than doing either. And fortunately, they made a move today, and I hope by tomorrow afternoon maybe there's another move. Maybe it's a random rotational bat. We know they've been in discussions with the Angels, Ward or otherwise. So I don't think this is the last move, that's what you're asking. I think there's one more to come before tomorrow afternoon.
We're up here at Chiefs training camp. Gold mentioned we'll hear from J.J. Piccolo in just a minute. I thought we almost might start Chiefs even though the Royals made a trade, because right before we went on the air, there was a pass from Mahomes to Tony, who threw it back to Mahomes, who threw it to Tony, who then threw it to Xavier Worthy. A Cinco pass.
It took a long
time
to develop.
Pass.
It took a long time to develop.
But Worthy was very open by the time they got through the four passes back and forth between Mahomes and Tony. It went Mahomes, Tony, and then the pass all the way down to Worthy. I thought for a second, I was locked in, man. You don't see four back and forth pass attempts before the ball gets aired out downfield. Kudos to Tony. He got the ball downfield.
He did. He did. It was a nice-looking throw. We will get back into the Royals, not only with J.J. Piccolo in 5 minutes, but also throughout the show. We'll talk more about the bullpen. Obviously, James McArthur yesterday, again, with a bad performance. It's been
a horrific
month of July. Thank you all for the tweets. I appreciate that. I'm glad you think I have so much control over how changing his name means that performances are impacted. But he's been bad. He's been bad, plain and simple. We're going to talk about that. A week ago, everybody wanted Sam Long to close. Everybody still want that?
After he gave it the grand slam?
They don't have an option, really, at closer. It's going to have to be matchup-driven. That's an issue for them, clearly. So we'll talk more about that. Someone says, wait, Tony caught both. That's right. He caught two passes on one play.
Yeah, he did. He caught both and delivered a strike.
Mm-hmm.
What more do you want from Kadarius Toney?
Also, some other notes. Great news. Joe Tooney was back at practice. He returned. Remember, he was on the pup list.
Immediately
ran with the number ones, except when they were doing some... That was just insults. He wasn't doing it when they were doing some of the team drills. So that's one thing. Also, Hunter Norzad got work at left guard today. Other notes, still no Chris Jones practicing. Remember, over the weekend, a groin injury for Chris Jones. He's out here walking around but not really practicing. Hollywood Brown dealing with an illness. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I have not seen him. I know he had an illness yesterday. Have you seen Clyde?
I didn't see him.
Okay,
come down
so I think
either.
Clyde and Hollywood are both still gone today.
You think it's strep again?
Oh, who knows?
You think that he got
They're living in a dorm. Who knows, man? Remember dorm days? You never know what's going on. You could have it could be flu. It could be cold stomach. Anything. I'm going to say it could be anything. How about that? Any illness, Cody. Everything's on the table. We're going to get an update on your illness, too, at some point today.
Yeah, we can get a medical update if you want.
On Friday.
I went to go see a doctor.
On Friday, you had a very swollen finger. I told you I didn't think it was broken. We were saying maybe it's gout, maybe it's an infection. But you said you went and saw a doctor, so we'll get update on that in a little bit. I'm curious.
I will release my own HIPAA information for you.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Well, there might have been someone else. I'll just leave it at that.
I got some inside information. You're talking to my doctor now?
I'm just going to say I was given Saturday morning some inside information on your whereabouts.
What the hell do you need to care
Don't worry
doctor,
about it.
Matt.
We've got people everywhere, man.
You got spies on me now? Colt's got spies. Colt's keeping an eye on whether or not I'm going to the doctor or not. Interesting. Okay.
I'm just saying, I didn't seek out the info. The info was provided to
me.
By the way, I do want to point this out. This is from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, his official Twitter handle. So this might explain and does explain where things are at. He says, living with PTSD is no small feat. It's hard and very overwhelming. Within the last month, I've had many flare-ups, and the amazing staff here at Chiefs have been helping me get through some tough times. I'll be back rolling next practice. All love, Glydro. So there you go.
Oh, man, I missed that.
Dealing with some mental health issues. That is the illness. Officially listed as illness, but that is the issue. Clyde
Good for Clyde for speaking
that, publicly on his. That's from his Twitter account. Sounds like he'll be back on Wednesday, though. That's the plan, at least.
Like, obviously, he's speaking about what took place at the parade, you would assume.
Oh, I don't want to speculate. I have no idea. Yeah, I don't want to
talk about PTSD. I'm just going to, but like,
but that could be any. I don't want to speculate on the exact other than what he tweeted. Who knows?
I mean, that's fair. I don't think it's overly speculative, but I could understand. You're right. It could be from other things. But either way, it's good to speak about the mental health issues that he's going through and those things. And as you know, Clyde had spent part of his off season a year or two ago trying to work on being a nurse again. So like, these things in the medical community are important to Clyde. I missed that tweet earlier. It's really cool that he was able or willing to speak on
it. I just saw it come across the timeline.
But yeah, so Clyde out today, says he'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get some of those other illnesses out of the way, like Hollywood Brown, and we'll get some of those guys back. But yeah, we saw the same guys. No Nani, no Chris Jones, who was out from the groin injury over the weekend. Nazi Johnson. Like, we've seen a few little ticky-tack injuries flare up, Cole.
Yep.
But nothing that I would deem overly concerning at the moment. Does that sound about right to you? Nothing's going to send me into panic. Nothing's going to say
no,
who's
because gonna the
step
guys
up in
that
their absence.
The guys that are missing. I mean, Derek Nnadi still not practicing. We already knew that. Recovering from the tricep injury. Jalen Watson. We already knew he wasn't going to be in pads for a while, based off of his torn labrum from last season that we learned he played with it all year and then had surgery. And Chris Jones, the groin, I'm guessing they're just being really cautious. The fact that he's out here and walking around and stuff would lead you to believe that it's not a very serious groin injury for Chris Jones. So that has been pointed out a few times throughout camp. And, yeah, anytime you see an illness listing, those are usually things that people bounce back from, depending on the severity of it. And obviously, in Clyde's case, it's a little more unique of a circumstance.
Yeah, a little bit different. It might be something he deals with for a long time. But also, like you said, typically won't keep you out for more than a couple of days of practice, and then you will be back with the team here moving forward. I'm watching special teams now. The other camp observation worth mentioning.
New kickoffs.
As it's all done, they spent this entire time convincing us, and we talked about it on the air, that the Chiefs might have had a distinct advantage in the kickoff game with Justin Reed or LRZ, that they could have been taking advantage of. And after all of it shook out, guess who's been kicking the ball off again? Harrison.
Well, Dave Toub over the weekend spoke to the media and said, Butker is our guy kicking off. So I think we can put that to rest. It's not going to happen.
If Justin Reed had played the entire training camp, I think it might be different. But now he's got a quad injury, they're probably not going to risk it.
Well, there was speculation, though, that that LRZ was going to maybe kick off in addition to being a kick returner. And that they've backed off of that. So it looks like the idea for the time being is that it's going to be Harrison Butker kicking off, which in other years, a year ago, you would be like, well, no kidding, he's kicking off. But times are different now with the new kickoff rules. So we actually have to clarify.
Wait, the kicker's kicking off?
Yes.
Look, here's the truth. I think that they really wanted Justin Reed to do it. They gave LRZ a chance. And what I had mentioned to you when we first talked about this, Gold, is, hey, are they sure that a non-kicker can possess the consistency it might require in order to do this successfully? And you're like, it's fine. They're putting Justin Reed out there. They must trust him to do it. I think they did trust Justin Reed to do it. And then I think they got LRZ out there, and the ball was probably going a little left or right sometimes, probably going a little too deep, a little too short. He probably didn't have the consistency to put the ball where it needed to be on a regular basis. And as a result of that, they had to adjust back to Harrison Butker and just lose the tackler in this regard. So they're back in the same position pretty much every other team is in the NFL. So there's no real advantage in it, but there's not a disadvantage in going back to the old way.
Dave Tobe also said, though, that, you know, the real competition for kickoff returner is more like three guys, even though he said he was joking. But he's like, we've had like 19 different guys returning kicks for this team. They're just trying to get all options that are out there. Remember, they haven't even been in pads for a full week yet. First day of pads was last Friday, and today they're not in pads. So they've had, what, three padded practices?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Now, the first preseason game will be here before we know, but we're still over a week. We're still a week away, I think.
Are we next week for
the Jags, right? Down in Jacksonville.
On the
9th or 10th, something like that?
Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, more like 2 weeks. Next week is a pretty loose term. We're still almost a full 2 weeks away from a Chiefs Chiefs preseason game. Can't wait, man. Love the buzz. Do you just dial into every second
of watch.
I put it on the TV.
I mean, I'm going to watch.
The second the starters are out, I'll be honest with you, man. When it's Oladukun, you know, like I'm just.
I'll watch the first half, and then, like, fourth quarter is more of a casual watch, and then keep an eye on something developed that I can go back and check it out. But, not, you know, yeah, it's first and second string and go from there. I know people get excited to watch the fourth quarter because that's where the Nico Remigios and the Justin Rosses thrive, and that's where Twitter goes crazy, the catch in the fourth quarter with 10 seconds to go on a last-second Oladukun drive.
While we wait to hear from J.J. Piccolo on the trade that the Royals made today, if you missed it, they traded for Michael Lorenzen, a starter for the Texas Rangers. We'll get an idea of what that could mean for Alec Marsh's role, or if they're thinking Lorenzen in the pen, whatever, as he speaks in a couple of minutes. Can I say one thing that was absolutely
embarrassing? You can say whatever you want, man.
The Royals lost the game, but that's not what was embarrassing. Yesterday, it was embarrassing that these losers at Major League Baseball and fansided couldn't get the Royals in the Monarchs jersey. What the hell? Come on.
Yeah.
Just the hat because they're too lazy to print them up? What? What's the problem? Because it couldn't work out the deal. I saw the printed statement. It's nonsense. I almost cussed for a second. That's how heated I am about it. It's nonsense. It doesn't make any sense to me that they do this partnership and then they half-ass every little bit of it. No, the jerseys aren't too skinny. What do you mean the letters are too small? What tiny fraction of an iota of a cent are you trying to save on this deal if you're fan-sided in order to get your money's worth? This is one of the cool things the Royals specifically get to do every year. And every year, they auction off those jerseys, they auction off those hats for charity, for the Negro League Baseball Museum. I can't understand, Gold, what the hell went wrong in the situation that doesn't allow them to wear the jerseys. It was stupid.
I don't know. I don't know if it was a timeline. They were so worried about other issues that, like, simply almost forgot to get to where they needed to be. Yes, that's embarrassing. It shouldn't happen. Yesterday, we still got Bob Kendrick, though, in the broadcast booth for two innings, which is always a treat anytime he gets a chance to tell the story of the Negro Leagues. But, yes, the uniform thing, you've done it before. And Fanatics has to figure this out in the future. My guess is, Cody, next year they'll have that taken care of.
It said, we will not be wearing Negro Leagues jerseys due to changes in league uniform regulations, which also applies to other special event uniforms. But Major League Baseball has been a long supporter of the Negro Leagues.
Here's the thing. If you were able to
donate the amount they got for the jerseys last year, we'll call it even.
If you were able to, Fanatics, have enough of the ugly-ass All-Star Game unis produced.
Yeah.
You can those specialty uniforms were fine, but you can't get the other ones, so I know it's a small thing, but I'm with you. It was more of an annoyance.
I understand. Like, I get it. Is it the end of the world? No. But what is it? What do they get, right? $20,000 for the museum for this? Donate something.
Idea.
It's just stupid. These uniform regulations that nobody cared about until fan side, it was like, whoa, that's the same material. And they're like, it's not the same material. I just don't understand why baseball lies all the time. I'm assuming it's another lie. It probably isn't a uniform regulation thing. Fan side, it just didn't feel like printing them. What's their problem? Well, it's fan side's issue. What's their deal?
They're taking over the world, man.
They are.
They're the Amazon of the sports world. That's what they are, basically.
Oh.
They're taking over everything. They do trading cards, uniforms. They got all the deals with all the leagues now. They're taking over the world.
They seem to have
Amazon.
And I hate them because I don't feel like they do as good of a job. They're doing everything a little bit worse, is in my opinion, including this. I was just disappointed. I know it's small, man, but, like, let them wear the Monarchs jerseys. It's cool every year. It was dressed to the nines day, and it just felt kind of weird that, like, I don't know, they weren't in the jerseys. It's small. I'm not here to.
This really bugged you.
It did. It really did bug me. I understand the level of indiscretion it is, but, yeah, It bugged me, if we're being honest. It really did bug me. Can't sleep at night, you know? One way or the other. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent.
You're good. Our training camp coverage here in St. Joe, presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. While we're waiting for J.J. Piccolo to have his Zoom call to address the Michael Lorenzen trade, because things are going to get shuffled around this hour anyway, go ahead and give us an update then on the finger looked at Friday as you showed everybody and talked about on Friday. Yeah. I said it wasn't broken. Was I right or wrong?
You were correct.
Okay.
At least according to the doctor I saw on Saturday. So I decided I'd wait a day. I didn't go on Friday. I was like, I'm going to wait to see how it feels. Felt worse Saturday morning. I was like, well, that's not good. It's felt worse 2 days in a row. So I decided I would just first thing in the morning go see an urgent care that had an X-ray, get this thing taken care of, make sure I'm okay. You know,
is it as swollen today? I'm trying to tell.
It's a little less swollen today.
Uh-huh.
Still not. I wouldn't say it's not swollen, but a little less swollen today. So I went into the doctor. We got X-rays. He said the swelling makes it, you know, kind of impossible to see all the way through. But he does not think it's broken. He just thinks it's a really, he called it a severe sprain because he's a doctor, you know that.
What were you doing to get a severe sprain in your finger?
So I got a severe finger sprain. I then asked him about gout. You guys were so in my head about this gout thing.
Yes.
I asked him about gout, and he said it's not gout. So, like, if you're looking for more confirmation on the gout thing, I definitely don't have gout according to this.
Okay, that's a good thing.
I will
say
this. I ran into a listener there.
Oh, I know you did, because I had some inside scoop. I got a message. Our listeners are everywhere.
Our listeners are everywhere.
9:04 a.m. Saturday, I get a message with a photo of you sitting in the waiting room.
Oh, my God. He's taking photos of me?
It says, Cody just walked in to urgent care, cut the line while others were waiting. Mm. Said, this guy.
Okay, I didn't cut
he
the
said,
line.
Also,
I just filled out my paperwork faster.
He said, ironically, he has gout in his foot and started laughing when he walked in.
Sorry, he has gout?
He actually has gout.
So of all the people, I could have gone to any urgent care. I went to one where one of five people there was a listener who had gout.
That's correct.
He actually
had
gout.
That's correct.
Are we allowed to release that medical
information? Well, I didn't say his name.
Was that a violation? Nobody
knows who it is.
Just some guy?
Some random guy on. I'm not going to mention his name. But, yeah, he messaged me on Twitter and X, and it was a photo of you, and he said you walked in and cut the line, which I was like, oh, of course you did.
I would say I did not cut the line.
When people are seeking medical care.
We all went in. Five of us went in. When the place opened. Four or five of us went in when the place opened. We're all given paperwork to fill out. I filled out my paperwork faster, even though I wasn't the first person through the door. I was probably the second person taken back. It's not my fault you fill out paperwork slow.
I just don't know how you're having severe sprains in your finger, and you don't know how that happened.
He offered me a splint. He's like, but pretty much just ice it, take ibuprofen, don't use it, and you'll be fine.
So what was that, like an $80, $100 doctor's visit to really not get anything?
Don't know. They didn't really give me
You'll find out soon. Don't worry.
$100.
It's probably a $100 visit, and you got nothing out of it. Not even a splint.
Nope.
Nothing. No medicine. No pain meds. Pain meds?
No. No pain meds.
Nothing.
In fairness, I wouldn't have paid for a splint there anyway. I can just go to CVS to get a splint. Do you know what they charge at an urgent care for a splint?
Yeah,
it's gonna be like $50.
Fair
I'm not
enough.
A sucker.
Fair
I'll just
enough.
Go get my splint somewhere else. I can't believe someone actually took a picture of me at the doctor's office.
Again, I'm not gonna say his name, but he sent it to me and allowed to mention it. And it's a photo of you. It's definitely you.
Oh, it was me.
Yeah, text line's picking. This is why I keep asking. I'm trying to ask for you guys. Cody keeps saying he doesn't know how he got the severe.
I don't know how I got that.
Something sketch is going on. I've tried to ask. He won't tell me.
I don't know how I got hurt. I don't know why you won't believe me.
Yeah.
But I don't know how I got hurt.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it's not broken, man. And I'm glad you don't have gout.
I'm glad for both of those things, too, if we're being honest, you know?
Up next, though, something that we know was a big problem a year ago, but maybe the Chiefs are highlighting even more this year, and we're expected to hear from J.J. Piccolo after the Royals make a trade for Michael Lorenzen to help what we think is the rotation, but perhaps it's the bullpen. That's next here from training camp. Back here from Chiefs training camp, Cody and Gold broadcasting live.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live, we are inside the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. Practice going on in front of us, probably another half hour at most of practice today, and then we're expected to have Chiefs rookie tight end Jared Wiley join us. I know there's a lot of expectations for him, maybe this year, but certainly into the future as well, and what he can present. He definitely looks the part in terms of another good-sized tight end that, you know, if you're looking for the same mold of Travis Kelce, a high school quarterback, all of that kind of stuff, he fits that. So we'll get to know Jared Wiley, and it looks like practice, actually, as I said, that is winding down. They'll do some stretching stuff. So we're probably about 10-plus minutes away within the next 15. I would be surprised if we don't have Jared Wiley. We're also expected to hear from Steve Spagnuolo, Creed Humphrey, and Trent McDuffie. And a little bit later on, things got delayed on the J.J. Piccolo Zoom call. So we'll have that for you probably next hour or the noon hour today. And if anything of note changes on the trade front for Michael Lorenzen, we'll let you know. There is one report I'll reference, though, Cody, before we move on to the Chiefs. Jim Bowden, who was on with The Drive the other day, he just tweeted out moments ago, according to sources, the Orioles, Yankees, Red Sox, and Royals are the four teams leading the mix of teams trying to acquire Tanner Scott from the Marlins, but other teams also in pursuit. Now, look, I hope I'm way wrong on this. I will gladly be wrong. But I would be fairly shocked.
That's a tough group to
if
outbid.
The Royals outbid the Orioles, Yankees, and Red Sox, knowing Woo! Their farm system and what seemingly is the Royals' position of not wanting to give up a ton of the future prospects to get a piece. Now, would I love Tanner Scott? Would that help solidify the issues in the back end of the bullpen?
Sure,
oh, of course it would. I think they are going to make another move. I just don't know if it's Tanner Scott. I would love it. That's just you're in the ballpark. You get Tanner Scott, Cody. You might be trading Blake Mitchell. You might be trading your top three prospects.
You might be giving up. Yeah, you might. And here's the thing that I think makes it a little bit easier of a pill to swallow. Sometimes you fear the Royals. Some of their better, I'd say a good majority of their better prospects are in the early stages of the system, and like a lot of times, I know it sucks because sometimes it means you end up giving up a better player down the road. But it's easier to part with sometimes because they can't help you they can't even help you now. They can't help you for years, Gold. Blake Mitchell, because high school players and the way it all works, you know how this is, he's 3 years away from helping the Royals. And now he made it to AA, so maybe he's only 2 years away. Some of AA this year, start in AAA next year, maybe full year there. You know, so maybe it's a year and a half, but it's still a little ways away at a position where they're pretty deep. And we don't know. Like, we don't know how much longer Salvador Perez wants to continue to play after this contract. But, like, and I don't want them to give up Blake Mitchell necessarily. But it is really hard. I told you earlier, it's really hard to not convince yourself to buy. Because last year's playoffs and any other playoffs, hell, the 2014, if you're the Royals, proved the one thing that is very true about baseball that is not true about every sport except for hockey. It's not true about the NBA, and it's sure as hell not true about the NFL, which is if you are the last damn team in the dance, you can win the World Series. The Diamondbacks were a pretty mediocre team last year, and they were playing in late-game World Series games last year with a chance to win it. Did they? No. But were they playing in the World Series? Yes. And with their starting rotation, specifically, with the Royals 1, 2, 3, of Lugo, Reagans, and Singer. If you just catch them hot for 2 weeks, anything could happen in the postseason.
Well, I love the rotation setup if they get in the wild card for the reasons you brought up. I think this weekend, though, also showed us, though, all right, you got the rotation. We know about the bullpen issues. They add Michael Lorenzen today. Hopefully they make another move. And Lorenzen, we think, will be in the rotation, but we'll get clarity on that. But the other part, Cody, is when, like most teams, when Bobby and Salvi are not hitting, which was the case yesterday. I mean, they didn't have a hit since the fourth inning when Fermin hit the home run. So that's all. I mean, it gets everybody's focusing
did
on the bullpen.
Did they get Chick-fil-A sandwiches away for that one, by the way?
No, I don't know.
It didn't hit the foul pole.
You got me excited for a second.
Think about
there
it.
There was Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
No, Chick-fil-A. They were.
Oh, yeah.
If you hit the foul pole, everyone in the stadium gets a sandwich.
Is everybody in the stadium?
But the Cubs fan caught it in front of the foul pole.
I have no idea. I have no idea. Controversy. No, I was just going to say, like, you know, the focus on the bullpen and the issues have been there all year.
Yeah.
But the other part and why they're a flawed team, too, when Bobby and Salvi are not hitting, and nobody's saying they haven't been great. Of course, they're one guy's going to be a top three MVP getter. But they don't have anything else.
No.
And so that's the struggle that you have. And, you know, in the postseason, if the Royals get in, as much as we talk about the rotation, I still don't think, even with the Michael Lorenzen acquisition, unless Alec Marsh turns into a great bullpen arm, I still don't think as of right this second the bullpen is good enough for them to have a run in the postseason. Now, look, they're ahead of schedule. Maybe just getting the dance, obviously, is enough for a lot of people. And I think it's a massive win alone if they just get in the postseason. It'd be an incredible year. They're already having an incredible year. But that's why I think still one more move needs to happen. So we'll see. Again, we'll hear from JJ later on. Text line said Chick-fil-A did end up giving out the sandwiches. They said they were still giving them away. So.
Honorable. That's honorable.
Yeah.
Because it has to hit the foul pole, and it was gonna.
Yeah.
The fans tried
smart on Chick-fil-A. Why would you not? It's great pub. Here we are. We're talking about
them. Yeah. I had no intention to mention the Freddie Fermin solo home run other than to say replay got it right in that case, absent the other thing. But, yeah, the pitching stuff, we can get into more of that here maybe a little bit. But, yeah, there are a couple of really known things about this Royals team, and this weekend kind of highlighted those things. You had mentioned before break that there's something the Chiefs are emphasizing in camp this year that I think – really matters for our next guest when Jared Wiley comes and sit here. The Chiefs, we know the deep ball's the big thing, right? Oh, Tony to Mahomes. And I saw Bill Barnwell, so he'd be like asking Tony to catch two passes in a play, sicko behavior when you're talking about that. But I think it's pretty clear, based on the camp we've been up to already, the second biggest emphasis they're putting on right now is red zone. They know that they have to be significantly better. And what it seems like their plan is, what if we had a bunch of big tall guys? Here's part of the problem. I can't believe them until they prove to me they'll actually do that. I have watched the Chiefs' offense in the red zone for a decade under Andy Reid.
You're saying they're going to be
cute. Likes, yes!
But
he's
getting,
way
but getting,
more likely to do that than to just throw it to a big, tall guy.
Yeah, but I mean, look, when we say that, like, they're not just going to throw fade patterns at the worst freaking play at the two-yard line.
No, I hate
crazy.
That play.
I don't think they're going to do that.
Like, use some of your size to box guys
out. You can be creative in that. We view it as being creative like they have in the past as, you know, jet sweeps to Hardman or reverse pass or what, you know. Being creative in the red zone can involve having three tight ends, and all of a sudden, Jared Wiley's got an unbelievable matchup with somebody in the red zone, right?
Some small corner.
You know, that's how I envision them doing
it. I hope that they do it that way, but I've never seen them. You know, like, very rarely do they operate their offense in that way, Gold. They're more likely to give it to what if somebody was 5'9", 180 pounds, and we found a way inside the five-yard line to give it to him than they are box out big man against small corner, throw it down the field. I like that they're exploring it. It seems like they're interested in using Wiley. They ran an entire red zone set with the first team the other day, and Justin Ross and Jared Wiley were both in on the play. Like, they're like, what happens if people are tall? What happens if they're big? And you're like, other things. I mean, I like the idea of actually trying it, but it is definitively, we talk about this sometimes in sports where if I've seen enough of something, you're going to have to prove it to me before I'll believe
That's
it.
That's fair. And
with the Chiefs in the red zone, I'll just be honest, I'm not going to believe that you're going to toss one to Jared Wiley down there, and so you prove you're willing to throw to a big man. Now, they did throw to Jody Fortson a little bit.
They did.
A couple
he couldn't stay
ago.
Healthy. And that's so we know they like being able to have that secondary tight end that can be a great receiving option. And even if Wiley's going to be further down the depth chart, I think his ability in the red zone is where, if he's going to have a good season and where everybody's excited, it's going to be in the red zone. I just, you know, in the middle of the field, how often are we going to see Wiley? I that remains to be seen, in my opinion. But down in the red zone, certainly when you're inside the 10, inside the 5, I think that's where maybe he could thrive as a rookie. Now, long term, maybe he develops into something far more than that. Nobody's saying he can't. But initially, like, he's not having 500 yards this year. Now, could he have 5 touchdowns? Yeah, I think there's a chance.
That's
and that
what
would
I
be
want.
And that would be great.
When we went back to that initial conversation, when I told you I thought he could have a more impactful year, that's kind of what I meant. I didn't mean he was just going to out-yardage Xavier Worthy or out-yardage Noah Gray, who got himself up to, what, like 450 yards last year.
I think you kind of know what Noah Gray is.
Yeah, and look, Noah Gray, most people will settle in. That's a nice, solid tight end, too, in the NFL. You don't really complain about it. No real complaints. Like, cool, that works. Just as long as you're not anticipating him turning into Travis Kelce. And look, I know there will always be some fan, and I saw, I don't know, like a week ago, someone was like, tell me he doesn't look like Kelce Jr. I'm like, relax.
Same size.
Yeah, but I mean.
Long way. We're talking about a Hall of Fame, maybe the greatest tight end of all time.
Yeah.
You know, let's pump the brakes.
I'm just saying, relax a little, okay? But I'm not saying he can't. It's just like.
Stylistically, I get the comps. When we watch him out here running routes.
And he moves that way.
He definitely, I mean, the presence is there. That reminds you. I get it.
But he's going to have to prove that he can do that. And the other thing that we always fear is, like, nobody knows the defense better than Travis Kelce. Knows how to manipulate where he is better than anyone else. It's easy in a shortened T-shirt, I'll be honest, to get open against a corner on a break route. It is, because you're not having to, like, guess what they're doing. You already know what they're doing. You already know what you're supposed to do. Some of, like, the best players, the best tight ends, specifically in the NFL, have a feel for when to zig when somebody else is zagging, even if that's not necessarily the job. Because you have a lot more options at that position than you do at wide receiver, where they give you more flexibility. That is, if this guy lines up here, you need to go there. And if that guy lines up there, you need to go here. And you've got to be able to read that in real time. It's easier said than done, I think, a lot of times. And that's where we kind of create that challenge. I hope that they kind of go have a couple of big sets in the red zone this year. Because it's like the one thing that they haven't done consistently that they have the talent for this year. I don't want you to ever just, like, use the talent you don't have, but you've got the talent for it. Like, I understand you could make the argument for what if we just spread everyone out with Tony and McCole and let some guy beat someone to an edge on a mismatch, but you also have size. Why not see if it works? Especially early in the season when you're still trying to figure out what your new look offense is.
Now, we have Q producing for us this week because, as you guys know, Drew is out of town. He's at the beach, saw some photos, very jealous, looks really nice. And what, a training camp ago, Q was our intern. And when we were up at camp, he had Q's cues. So we thought for this week at least, we go throwback a little bit. Does Q have some camp questions? Q's cues ready to go? And actually,
I do.
Don't worry about it.
Actually, have some cues ready to go.
I hate to do this to you, Q. I hate to do this to you, buddy. Jared
Wiley's
okay. Walking up right now, so we're going to get to your cues. All of a sudden, the golf cart just came zooming by. So
we call this a tease in the business.
That's right. It's just a tease. We'll have an opportunity for you to have us with the camp questions in just a little bit. But we do have Jared Wiley getting ready to join us here from Chiefs training camp here on 610 Sports Radio. And our conversations with Chiefs players during training camp are brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. You can plan your trip today as practice wrapped up just a few moments ago. And we do have Jared Wiley joining us from Chiefs training camp. Appreciate you stopping by, man. Good to have you on the show. I don't think we've had a chance to talk to you before. First camp, NFL experience. How are things going so far?
It's been really good. You know, I got a lot of help with a lot of the older guys here. You know, obviously Coach Melvin. He's a great tight ends coach. Coach Reed is a great head coach. You know, just trying to be a sponge right now and just soak up as much information and knowledge as I can. It's kind of the goal.
Andy, take it easy on you. It seems like he scheduled the 10-10-10 at the perfect time.
Yeah.
It's miserably hot outside.
Yeah. That after, you know, 3 really long, hard days was definitely needed.
Yeah, I was going to say, you played at Texas, you played at TCU as well, so I'm assuming you've had some camps, you know, fall practices or something where the weather's been this bad as well.
Oh, this feels great out here.
The
mentality I guess you got
to
have.
I mean, you know, at Texas we used to practice on the turf field. It'd be about 120 on the turf. It's still humid. You know, we would practice at, you know, 1-2 in the afternoon. I mean, it was brutal. Kind of similar thing at TCU, except for we were on grass. So, yeah, whenever I come out here in the mornings and it's a little humid, but it's 85 degrees, I'm like, oh, this
See,
is great.
We're complaining over here. We're sitting,
we're
under,
sitting.
We're under a tent. We're here till 2, though, I will say that. But yeah. You guys are running around, and then here we are. So it puts things in perspective just a little bit. Also, earlier, my co-host Cody, we were talking about on Friday, he thought he broke his finger. We're like, he didn't break your finger. It's sprained. He went to an urgent care over a swollen finger.
Look, I've got a wife. Like, shouldn't that count for something? She wasn't going to let me just, like, keep being injured forever.
No, I mean, the fingers, though, I don't know if I can be with you on that one.
Oh, wow.
You know, a ball hits a receiver's finger weird, it'll break, or it'll – you just got to kind of pop it back into place, and you're good.
That's it? Just move on with my life?
The doctor didn't give him any advice.
I guess that's always it, right? Because you're a professional athlete. Your girlfriend, I think, is like a collegiate athlete. Would
pro,
she be
pro?
Pro I'm
pro
sorry. Something.
Whoa, okay. There you
I apologize. Hey. Last time I saw an interview, they were interviewing her as a college player. So that's my bad.
She just signed pro a couple months ago.
Okay, so you're both professional athletes. I'm guessing at some point, but like if you've got something ailing you, doesn't she want you to like make sure you go see the trainer?
Yeah, I don't. You know, I don't really speak up on stuff like that, especially to her, because she's definitely. That kind of person who, you know, oh, you need to go get this looked at. You need to know if you're feeling sick, you know, you need to talk to them. And I'm like, I'll be fine. I don't know if it's like a male thing or if it's like, I don't know what it is. But, yeah, she definitely wants me to go get stuff checked out.
Since you mentioned Texas and you played there, we a couple of weeks ago when NCAA football came out, we were talking about that the video games developers didn't let them put horns down. Should they have allowed it in the game? Not is it good or bad? Should they have allowed it in the game?
I mean,
part of, you know, college football.
I mean, you know, if you look at, you know, A&M's deal with the thumbs up, if you do thumbs down, like, you know, did they put that in the game? If they did, then they should have let the horns down. I don't really have a say-so in it. you know, I try to stay away from that as much as possible.
What was that like? Again, for those who don't know, you were at Texas, but ultimately at TCU as well. So, What was that like? I don't know how much the rivalry is there between the two necessarily, but both were in the Big 12 last year. So at that point in time, was that a weird thing with teammates? Like the people there at TCU, the horns down thing, was that something they enjoyed? And then you were mixed motions because you were at Texas prior?
No, we didn't. TCU, you never saw like the horns down or anything. I feel like that was more like, you know, obviously like Oklahoma or like
Kansas, you know, did it once.
West Virginia did it a couple times. But, I mean, I never had, like, any issues with anybody from, you know, TCU, like, you know, talking about Texas or anything like that. I will say this, though, it was especially that my first year at TCU, it was definitely weird going back to Austin to play Texas. That was probably the weirdest I've ever felt, like, going into a game or, like, a week or anything like that.
Speaking of Chiefs tight end Jared Wiley, earlier in practice we saw – quad pass, I don't know what it's called. Mahomes to Tony, back to Mahomes, back to Tony, then to Xavier Worthy. You played high school quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, I've always been told you got to wait a few years before, like, from players, you got to wait a few years before you ask Andy for a pass. But do you itch for the moment that you get to throw a pass in an NFL game?
I am very excited for the opportunity, but I'm not going to bring it up to anybody. I'm in no position.
He knows.
Right now.
He knows you played high school quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm in no position to, you know, go up to him and be like, hey, you know, you should let me throw that. That's not. But whenever it does, if the time does come, it'll go about 70 yards. I'll launch it.
Is there you've still got a pretty good arm?
Oh, yeah.
Were you a dual threat guy then? I guess I just think tight ends. You must have been like the running slash passing quarterback.
Yeah. No, it was. I was definitely dual threat.
Did you get opportunities to play? Like, could you have gone somewhere and played in college quarterback? Or
no, not really. Quarterback's a weird deal, especially coming out of high school. Like, if you want those big offers, you got to play like sophomore, junior, senior year. I just started my senior year at quarterback, played tight end the year before that, and then like outside receiver, backup quarterback the year before that. So I was so all over the place that nobody, you know, really got to, you know, get a good look, I guess, at what I could do at quarterback. Kind of happy that's how it played out. I don't think I'd be here right now. So
yeah, I think they're set at quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get your first invite to tight end you this year?
Yeah, I did. I had to, I couldn't go this year. Still moving into my apartment up here and just having to figure all that stuff out to try to get settled in. But I definitely plan on going next year.
How's Kansas City for you, though? I mean, you mentioned Austin, your time there. Like, what stood out about Kansas City? Have you found a spot or two or a type of food? Obviously, everybody asks about barbecue, but you had that in Texas as well.
Yeah. I mean, I like Kansas City a lot, to be honest with you. It kind of reminds me of Fort Worth a little bit. I loved Fort Worth whenever I was there. But, you know, as far as, like, you know, you kind of have downtown, but outside of downtown, it's kind of – it's open. It's not super crowded. Like, that's what I hated about Austin. It's so crowded everywhere you go. You got to go 45 minutes out of the city just to, you know, have your own space. So I kind of related to Fort Worth in that aspect of things. And so, you know, I think that that's why I like it so much. As far as the food, yeah, I've tried a couple different barbecue spots. Q39 is probably my favorite right now. Other than that, though, I mean, I'm kind of basic whenever it comes to food. Like, I have a guy who does meal prep for me, stuff like that. So other than that, I mean... Yeah, I mean, super basic with it.
This could be a chance for a fan to get to know you. Do you have any hobbies outside of football? We always like to ask, just in case there's like some. You could play piano for all.
No, I'm a avid video game player.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your game? What's your best game? Or give me a couple. That's fine.
So we got, you know, the easy ones like Call of Duty. You know, me and my friends from college, we play FIFA. We play, you know, MLB. Obviously, NCAA is the hot one right now. Just stuff like that. I mean, the list, I mean, there's probably 40, 50 games that we'll get on and play. But, yeah, you know, we all really enjoy just being able to do that with each other and still getting to, you know, chop it up with your guys from back home and, you know, talk about all the stories like your old heads now.
Jared, appreciate it, man. We know you got to run, get inside, obviously. And welcome to Kansas City, and best of luck this season.
I appreciate it. Y'all have a great day.
There you go. That's Jared Wiley, Chiefs rookie tight end here at Chiefs training camp. All our Chiefs player interviews brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. You can plan your trip today. And, yeah, look, the high school quarterback thing comes up because anytime anybody wants to talk about Travis Kelce, that gets brought up. And I think that also has lent itself to the comparisons for Wiley and Travis just a bit. But,
sure.
Yeah, you asked about the pass or whatever. If we ever see him throw a pass, I'm guessing it's at least 2 years from now.
I'll say this. He's a big man.
He is. He's 6'6". Every bit of 6'6", I would say.
He looks like he's in pretty good shape.
Well, yes, he's a professional
athlete.
He also
said, dude, it's a finger. If it breaks, you just pop it back into place and live your life.
Well, people on the text line were getting after you. They was like, your finger hurts and you went to the doctor, you know.
I waited like 4 days. I didn't, like, rush to the doctor the second it started hurting.
He did smile, though, when you said, I think you said quad pass, but triple pass or whatever it was. He started smiling because, that's what Andy does, too, at camp as well. It keeps guys fresh and motivated and energized when you have throw some fun. Like, you know they enjoyed that play.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. It's like, it just keeps you, like, will that play work in a real game goal? I don't think so. I don't think Mahomes can throw it to Tony, who can throw it back to Mahomes, who can throw it back to Tony, who can throw it 60 yards down the field. It went that long. 40 yards down the field to Xavier Worthy. I don't think that play's going to work. I think some defensive lineman would probably get to you by then, a Bosa or something. Would find you by then.
Text line's mad at you and I right now.
Why?
They said we didn't give them a snow cone. They're mad at us.
Well, it was...
Spur of the moment. We don't know when they're coming. We didn't know. It kind of happened very quickly. Remember, we were going to go to Q's. That's how we weren't sure. We don't know when they're showing up. We're supposed to have them for 10 minutes. I don't know if we had them for 10 minutes or not. I felt like we weren't there for the full 10. But, you know, we were told to wrap up.
I apologize. Chris Jones, he hasn't come by since he's been on the out of practice with the groin injury. Maybe not working up quite the sweat.
Mm.
So I didn't think Chris Jones was going to come by today. And because he didn't come by, I didn't think about it. Plus, as you can imagine, as it is pretty toasty today, the line at the Kona ice stand is quite long. And I didn't want to disrupt 20 customers from getting their ice. Had he asked... Had Chris Jones come by, and I got him a snow cone. But I did not get him one today.
Yeah, that's fine.
I apologize. We'll have to wait until next time. We owe Jared Wiley one snow cone. Does that seem fair to you?
That's fair. I think. I don't know if he even knows about him, so he wouldn't. I don't think he even knows. He missed out.
He's a rookie. He doesn't know about the snow cones yet. That started like 3 years ago or something. That was in the COVID year, I think, we got him a snow cone. Because he was on the other side of the railing here. Like, he wasn't even sitting at the table with us, remember? He was on the other side of the rail.
Someone says, tomorrow we should have a bowl of hot ramen noodles, not a snow cone. Well, no practice tomorrow. Our next day up here scheduled is Thursday, actually. We'll be back up here Thursday, and I imagine they'll be in pads at that point.
Imagine if we tried to give Chris, like, a thermos full of hot soup.
That just sounds terrible.
Oh, God.
Sounds terrible right now.
I was just thinking about, like, miserable. I'd rather cut off this finger than eat hot soup. This exact second? You got to try not to pass out, man. We got to stay hydrated.
We're already on bottle number four.
Yeah.
Water bottle four. I also brought, you know, Drew kept telling us about the frog tog thing.
Yeah.
I bought a couple. They're in the cooler. We just got to pour cold water. I mean, they're like noon, 1 o'clock hour when we're really feeling it. It's only 11 o'clock, not even 11 o'clock yet. When we're really feeling it later. You know, I was hoping Dusty was going to give us a good tease heading into the show. I was hoping he was going to say, you know, like, the hottest ever edition of Cody and Gold.
Just feel right.
You know, it is the hottest. And, you know, you could have taken that a million different ways. But it is the hottest edition of Cody and Gold, I think, officially.
It's got to be close because it's not going to be cool.
Someone says we should just get a tabletop snow cone maker. But our guys over at Kona Ice hook us up. We don't need the tabletop.
They always take care of us. They always offer us snow cones, too. They're very nice.
Very nice. All right, guys. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Steve Spagnuolo. Expected to also hear from Creed Humphrey, Trent McDuffie. And we will eventually get to Q's. Very anticipated questions next here on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.